Congregation, we read at the close of chapter 8 of the book of Acts, he went on his way rejoicing. And you, and you. Now, young people, you may think, of course, this Ethiopia Secretary of Treasury seemed to have everything going for him, eh? We cannot imagine that nowadays, looking to the country of Ethiopia or the Sudan region. But then, that country was prosperous and wealthy region. This minister of finance, a man of great authority, powerful, prestigious position, servant of the queen, Candace of the Ethiopians. Young people, we would say a company car, royal transportation, a chariot, a man who traveled widely because of his position, visited Jerusalem, 1,500 miles from home, a cultured man, read a foreign language, Hebrew or probably Greek, when he was reading the scroll of Isaiah. Of course, this man who seemed to have everything going for him went on his way rejoicing. So it seemed from the outside. But inwardly, he suffered, this servant, this eunuch, this mutilated man. Maybe you recognize this, eh? From the outside, outwardly, you appear keeping it together. Everything seems in your favor, good position at work, your family life, exemplary. So it looks like. But inwardly, maybe there are sitting here among us with cares and concerns you carry, and sometimes too heavy to bear. The questions that you may have, the riddles in life. Who am I really? Maybe you recognize that spiritually. From the outside, faithful member of the congregation. You cannot deny that you are indifferent. But inside. And maybe those times when the Lord's Supper is administered and you see God's people. And you think they have something. Something that you miss. Maybe you feel an outsider and say, no clarity. The question, why I am this? Behold, take note, pay attention, says verse 27, and men of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. In fact, you notice in the scripture passage that we read together, the word eunuch 5 times. Verse 27, 34, 36, 38, 39, emphasizing who this man really was. Not immediately visible from the outside, but he was castrated, slaughtered, cut off person. Neither man nor woman, humiliated, possibly from an early age on. Maybe parents who hoped that he would have a prestigious position, but at what cost? Hier is een man who is wounded, bruised. Isaiah 56 identifies a unit, a dry tree, meaning no children, no sons, no daughters, no offspring, no generation. This man that we meet tonight, this Ethiopian man with no name, a nameless man, and when he died, soon to be forgotten, his life was taken from the earth. Not immediately visible from the outside. That is how you can go through life sometimes. Huh? Maybe you sit here with the pain and hurt or guilt or shame that you carry. Grandparents, older parents, your children, about your children, you feel wounded, bruised inside because you failed as a parent, and fathers because of your work, not the father that you should have been. Or you sit here, not the mother that you could have been. Maybe the position that you have now in the society, huh? Respected, but at what cost? Behold, see, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. It was he who traveled back from Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of God's covenant people. And he traveled not taking the highway from Jerusalem to the Sudan, but the way that goes down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert, a lonely way. Going through life lonely, and sometimes a wilderness. It was he who had come to Jerusalem to worship. A religious seeker, interested out of curiosity. Ethiopia with many gods, and then Jerusalem, only to serve and worship one god. He had come. Young people, picture this, eh? The temple guards. They had seen him coming. What is that? Chariot? Servants? A closer look? A dark-skinned man? And they ask him, are you from the court? Yes, I'm a servant of the queen. Ah, so you are a eunuch? Yes. Ah, sorry. You cannot worship with us. And they were right, eh? Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. He who has a private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Which we can render, he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord. Sorry, sir, we have our traditions. He had come, but he was judged an outsider of God's covenant people. And thus he returned, rejected, a stranger on the way that goes down, which is desert. Congregation, I was thinking, how lonely can it be? For the eye seems everything going for him. Eh? You come in church, how are you doing? Fine. But lonely. Placed outside. With questions in your life. And therefore the question for all of us this night, are you going your way rejoicing? Because going your way rejoicing is only a life that is touched by Christ. That is a life when Christ is revealed through his words by the work of the Spirit. When you may know by grace, he knows me, he shows me, there is place by me, says the Lord. Because Philip was directed by the Lord, verse 26, to go into this wilderness, this desert road, directed by the Spirit to join this man. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Philip, when you read chapter 6, most likely, possibly, the deacon who turned to be an evangelist, this preacher of Christ in Samaria. The man who sees fruit on his labors. And people who with one accord gave heed to those things that he spoke. And there was great joy in that city. I was thinking, wonderful, eh? When you see fruit on your labors, you would say, stay at that place. But he is now sent to a desert road, only to see a lonely one, mutilated man, hearing him reading. Reading the words in his loneliness, in the wilderness. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb for his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And congregation, then very remarkable. Philip does not begin immediately to preach to this Ethiopian, but he begins by listening and connects with him, asking him a question, do you understand what you read? Do you understand what you are reading? Your Bible reading, not skimming through, superficial reading, not knowing its meaning. Do you understand what you are reading? Congregation, I was thinking, what a relevant question in the busyness of our life. Remind yourself this week. And then this eunuch, this man who appears to have everything going for him, responds, how can I? Except some men should guide me. Here is one who has riddles in his life, who has questions in his life. In fact, we see five questions in the passage that we have read together. Philip, the first one, understandest thou what thou readest? And then the eunuch, how can I, except some men should guide me? And 34, the eunuch again, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this? And in 36, the eunuch again, what does hinder me to be baptized? But which question is now at the center of those five questions? That is the question that is raised by Isaiah. The question the Lord raises, verse 33, and who shall declare his generation? Speaking about Christ, of whom the entire chapter, Isaiah 53, speaks. Congregation, here is one. He does not ask, what is this? Or why is the prophet speaking in this way? But of whom speaks the prophet is, of himself or some other man. He says, as it were, who is this? Here is one like me, a fellow sufferer, a suffering servant, rejected. Here is one who knows sorrows, acquainted with grief, afflicted, cut off. Do you have that at times? When you sit here in church or you read your Bible, there is this recognition. Is this about me? Precisely about my situation, my circumstances, my spiritual condition. You can escape it. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus, Savior for sinners, saving his people from their sins. Wonderful, is it not? Philip, and anyone who shares the good news, also at your work this week, listen, ask question, and then speak. No dogmatics here, complicated theology, our traditions, but preached Jesus to this one who stands so outside of God's people. Preach Jesus from the same scripture, Isaiah 53. Christ, who is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Christ, for this one, with always grief and sorrow as a eunuch, for you, maybe with that silent sorrow in your life, he hears, and you hear this evening, he has borne our griefs and carried your sorrows. Christ, for this one who was wounded and bruised, maybe for you in our midst, with wounds of the past or bruises of the present, and he hears, and you hear now, he was wounded, but for what? For our transgressions? He was bruised, but for what? For our iniquities. Hear the gospel, the Lord bruised him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Oh, hear the gospel, his offering, his sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sin is sufficient, is complete, is finished. Oh, see Christ, for this one who was afflicted, and that for you, in your affliction, whatever that is in your life, but he hears, and you hear tonight, he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and for who? For such one as you are. O Christ is proclaimed, for one who was cut off, stricken, no offspring, but here he was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For, and that is the reason, for the transgressions of my people. he was stricken. Do you hear? For your transgression, also of this past week, that struggle that you have with your sin, that specific sin, for the sins and iniquities for each of his children, was he stricken, went to the cross, died the death that you and I deserve, for outsiders by nature, placed outside paradise because of our sins. And yet the gospel also this night, he for me. Do you see that? Is that real for you? A fresh and a new? Wonderful, is it not? Undeserved wonderful. He knows me completely from within. My loneliness, my shame, my guilt, my feeling of not belonging, my questions, in my sorrow. But having Christ, my fellow sufferer, who never leaves me nor forsakes me, of whom speaks the prophet, of himself, of some other man. Christ for a lonely man. Christ for one that is placed outside. But to him, Christ is revealed. This one meets Christ here through his word. Or better yet, it pleases the Lord, Christ, to reveal himself to this one. That is the gospel this night. Christ knew this man better than he knew himself. That is your hope, your only hope, young people. Then it is Christ who bore our sins and purchased our forgiveness. And he did it by suffering. The sins that should have crushed us under the weight of guilt were transferred to Christ. Christ who purchased a perfect final healing for all his people. And he did it by suffering. That is the gospel. Also tonight, unexpected maybe, undeserved certainly. It is outside the regular, but the wind of the Spirit blows. Congregation, friends, it is as it were. The Lord sees this lonely one on this lonely wilderness road. But he cares so much that he sent Philip to preach Jesus for one who doesn't know anymore. But Christ comes through his word and he shows him he is not alone. There is one who knows him, who commits, who pledges himself to him. Wonderful, is it not, to be in church? Whatever you have brought into church, also did it tonight. But through his word, and he let you know, and he shows you, I know you. And I pledge myself to you, to be touched by his word, to be touched by Christ, and that you leave this place, and you know there is one who knows me. There is one who knows exactly who I am thus. That are those times that you may attest, my beloved is mine, and I am his. That is confessed. Eh? See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? congregation with Christ in view, all hindrances are taken away. All the obstacles are removed. The questions and riddles in your life, they are answered for the moment. And Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. O congregation, what a simple but so profound confession. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. I don't know that there is here confession of faith class this year. Or maybe it was here in the past. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Philip cannot do otherwise than to join him, to have fellowship with him. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Philip must have known, here is the Spirit at work. That this is a work of God. I can't resist, but we both have to go down in the water to baptize him in the name of Jesus. As we know from the form of the administration of the administration of holy baptism, witnessed and sealed unto us by the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. He does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection. Incorporated into fellowship, this outsider. But now, in fellowship, this lonely one, belonging to his covenant. In congregation, I was thinking in the preparing this sermon, here is something of spiritual flexibility, if I may say this word, and spirit work flexibility. Young people, picture this. If there is one here in the Hamilton area and to whom you may share the gospel, to whom the Lord has revealed himself, that Christ reveals himself to such a soul, and you pass by water, what hinders me to be baptized? And not a discussion, now let us schedule a meeting with the elders, and then let us schedule a special service for baptism, orderly as it might be. But in those extraordinary situations, seeing this surprising work of God, as Jonathan Edwards would call it, to have as a congregation some spiritual flexibility when we may see that the Lord is at work. And don't understand me wrong, it is good that we have our biblical traditions. But congregation, may I ask you this night, let us never, never be a hindrance. Through our traditions, when the Lord works through word and spirit, an extraordinary work of mercy and grace. Begin at the same scripture, beginning, so we can render, at this scripture. So we read in verse 35, referring to Isaiah 53, but also indicating that he went on to preach Jesus from the scroll of Isaiah. And he heard, and so you hear, and we hear here, and that makes the rejoicing the more. Then you hear, Isaiah 54. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. It can be at times that you go over the face of the earth, and it seemed that his face is hidden from you. But for a moment, listen, but with everlasting kindness, says the Lord, will I have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. And then you come with Isaiah 55, Christ who invites also tonight everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. No money? Come, buy and eat without money, without price. Oh, congregation, the price has been paid. The price of his blood. That blood that cleanses you from all your sins. And that gives her rejoicing. And then he, and we come to Isaiah 56. This eunuch, this Ethiopian stranger, and he reads, and we hear, neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord unto eunuchs that take hold of my covenant. And that just happened, eh? Confess Christ, just being baptized into the covenant. Even unto them, says the Lord, I will give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Amazing gospel, is it not? Those who feel so placed outside, those who cannot give themselves a name at times, they may hear from the Lord himself, I will give them a place and an everlasting name, you shall not be cut off. O congregation, it is an undeserved wonder of God's grace when Christ is revealed to you through his word, through the preaching of his word, preaching Christ in all its willingness, in all its readiness, in all his suitableness, precisely for all your needs. That are those moments you are lifted up above the circumstances of life. It gives you those moments to confess him, overwhelmed seeing who he is for such one as you are in yourself. It gives a joy, unspeakable joy. As the Apostle Peter writes, speaking about Christ, whom having not seen, you love, because he loved you first, in whom, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then I ask you, congregation of Hamilton, when was it the last time when you left those doors, this house of prayer, with joy unspeakable? When the Lord came over and he showed you Christ specifically for the situation and condition that you are in, when was it the last time? But congregation, it is also an undeserved wonder of God's grace when he confirms his own word and work to your soul. When he let you know, you and me, by nature outsiders, maybe you sit here with circumstances in life, pain, hurt, or loneliness, and spiritually, dry like a dry tree, and no clarity in the soul, and a stranger to the covenant of promises, and sometimes no belonging. But when the Lord comes over through his word, and he says to you, it seems then, those times that you are the only one in church, the only one that you read your Bible, but you hear it from his own lips, I will give you a place. I will make you joyful in my house of prayer, and I will give you a name. That are those times. That the Lord confirms his own work and let you know, I am thy salvation. Then you know, sure and certain in those moments, what we have sung at the beginning of this service, thou wilt finish perfectly. What thou? For me has undertaken. Oh, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows, and that is enough. And you know, when he comes over through his word, then it is not only for others, but also for me. And then you can go your way rejoicing. And notice, the road which is desert does not change. You're still in the wilderness. But with Christ, there is a rejoicing in the midst of the wilderness journey. And remarkable, one more thing. The preacher falls away. We just read it. The Lord, by his Spirit, called Philip away. But having Christ, he went on his way rejoicing. And you. And you. Having Christ. Would you not also for this new week.